This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The core focus now is the two big fires, the one in Bayview, an area called Beachview, and the other one next door, which is Seaview. Both of them are coastal, both of them near the sea. The fire started in the Beachview area, came towards the houses, burnt, I think, two houses down, and the fire trucks were trying to prevent the fire from getting onto the other houses. The problem is, whilst the firefighters were trying to fight that fire, there were fires in other areas nearby. And there's not enough fire personnel, not enough fire trucks. And the problem is there's a strong wind, which aggravated the situation. In addition to that, some of the trucks cannot go into certain areas if they're not passable. And they're too big. They need smaller buckets, 4x4s, to put carrying water carrying capacity and trailers to move in. And that and the other problems firefighters have, they can't use all the water on the fire that's far away from the homes, because once the water fire comes close to the homes, they run out of water. And the fire source is quite a distance, the water source is quite a distance to refill the trucks. So they have all these challenges, and they don't have enough firefighters. All these things can be dealt with. The fastest way and the most efficient way is to deal with, is to send in helicopters that can put out the fire with water from the sea. We've now given a contract that 4 o'clock this morning, the instruction will be given to send in two helicopters and a spotter plane. The spotter plane will communicate with the helicopters and the fire control center on the ground. And the helicopters, fortunately, because the sea is right next to where the fire is, can do many loads of water and drop it on the fire area, on the fire areas. That's the first intervention. Secondly, to augment the firefighters, the fire trucks, because they're running out of water, we're sending in our own water tankers to support the firefighter trucks. And we don't have to look far for getting the water, because we've drilled 45 boreholes in the city because of day zero. So we have some very good boreholes not too far away from the fire source, and they, some of them give us up to 70,000 liters per hour. In addition to that, we can draw water from Seribos that has a capacity of loading 35,000 liters in 32 minutes, and they can provide 500,000 liters of desalination water per day. They've actually, and they've already given us 84 pallets, which is 12,000 by 5-liter bottled water, which we can use either for drinking or for the fire itself. The other challenge is going to be the firefighters. We've activated Cape Town Fire Disaster Management, and we can send in 30 people or more tomorrow morning to support the firefighters, if necessary, if the helicopter system doesn't work well enough or it takes too long. And then the last two parts is that the firefighters are exhausted, they're hungry, they're thirsty. We provided meals for them this evening, energy drinks, energy bars, chocolates, and hygiene for the eyes, because the eyes get dry and get irritated with the fire and smoke. And then the big challenge right now, as I'm speaking to you, is the fire coming to the informal settlements. We've already working with the fire brigade and the police services. We've opened halls. We brought in blankets and mattresses that we had on site. We're already feeding the people, and disaster management is on site now, bringing trucks to evacuate the people from Seaview informal settlement and homes nearby. So it's a very collaborative effort, and hopefully, you know, lives will be saved, but we're going to need the helicopters to put that fire out.
Imtiaz, do you have any idea of the number of people who are in danger, or perhaps the number of homes that are being threatened by the fires that you're working in, the areas that you're working in?
Nobody's focused on those figures. You just see the video pictures. There's a lot of homes in the area. And there's lots of panic because, you know, after people saw the first houses being burnt, in the informal settlements, we have no idea how many structures there are, and in the communities next door. So right now, to prevent loss of life, the safest thing is just to move people out. And for a change, you know, normally informal settlement people don't look to move, like to move away from their homes. But this time it is they themselves who came forward out of their homes and said they want to move. One lady commented that her children had already messed themselves in the house out of fear and anxiety that this fire is coming. So there's been a lot of cooperation, and informal settlement, the settlement people have understood the danger of what's happening, and they were very willing to move out of their homes. Actually, they were calling for trucks to come fetch them, to take them to a safe zone. So in terms of if everybody follows the process and gets onto the trucks and gets to the hall where we're providing food and support for them, we'll save all the lives in that area. But we all don't want to save the lives only. These homes and the possessions are people's life's possessions. These are poor people. You know, they can't afford to replace what's lost. Mm. And we're hoping that we can put the fire out before it gets to their homes. And in that way, we can save their homes and the other homes of the more affluent society.
In terms of a temporary accommodation, what support or direction are you getting from the city, from the various municipalities, of where you can move them for temporary shelter?
Well, the shelter is provided already. The community hall has been opened. The council is on site. Disaster management is on site. Fire teams on site, and SAPs is on site. You know, so everybody is on site right now. So the facilities have been found. The venues are there, and people are moving to that venue. So there's no issue in that side. There's full cooperation and collaboration, and people are being moved, and they're willing to move.
Does this see you and the volunteers and firefighters working through the night, as you say? The wind are sweeping up the danger, bringing other fires in close proximity to where you're already struggling. Does it seem like a mammoth task?
Yes, you know, the first message that we got from the acting fire chief is, my firefighters are exhausted. He wasn't talking about the fire. He wasn't talking about the danger to the houses. He said, my firefighters are exhausted. They can't sleep. They can't eat. They have to move on a shift basis. They have to continue fighting this fire. Otherwise, they're going to have serious problems. We don't have enough people. The fire is spread in all different directions. It's in different areas. There's not enough water. There's not enough trucks. The wind is too strong. So that has been the challenge. And in spite of that, they've been doing extremely well. And then, of course, the residents themselves have been trying with whatever water they got to assist putting the fire out. But in the absence of huge amounts of water coming from the air, this is not going to work. The fire chiefs even told us that some areas are not passable. So even though they have the water truck, they can't get there. So they can't put the fire out because they can't get there. And then again, the acting fire chief made a call to say the only way you can get solve this issue or bring it under control so that the ground teams can kill the fire faster is for water to come from the air. And they said, look, the sea is right here. The fire is right here by the sea. So it's easy for the helicopters to come. But we don't have the helicopters, he said. And that's why we made arrangements from Cape Town. There's a helicopter in George. There's another one in Stellenbosch. And at 4 a.m., you know, depending on how the wind is and how the fire is, we'll then give the instruction to get and the contract for the helicopters to fly out for the spotter plane.